Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then one year later, God called me to preach, and I've been sharing Jesus ever since. Oh, friends, I wish you could see it out here today. Oh, we've got many inches of snow, and the mountains are all white, and the sun is just glistening off in it. I'll tell you, you know, you hear me complain a little bit about snow, but boy, God knew what he was doing when he made it, did he? Well, anyway, folks, I want you to know we'll be with you for a half an hour tonight. Now, if you got a troubled heart, won't you kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, and pour your glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Well, here's our thought for the day. Love is like a vaccination. When it takes hold, you don't have to be told. Tonight I'd like to speak on the subject, the truth shall prevail. Why do I get myself in so much trouble all the time? Some say I have hoof and mouth disease, or I've always sticking my foot in my mouth, but when a burr gets under my saddle, I just have to speak out. Now, I've been a Christian for nigh on 56 years, and I've discussed this subject with many and many learned people, and they do have some good arguments. So when I'm whipped, I turn to God's Holy Word and ask God's Holy Spirit for clarification. Am I always right? No. Am I always wrong? No. So, Cecil, let's get on with what the problems, and I want to thank you for asking. If there's anything that burns me up, it's a self-righteous Christian. I've been looked down on, and I've been accused of being not knowing my left hand from my right. Okay, I'll spit it out. Have you ever been approached by a Pentecostal, and they'll say, have you been baptized in the Holy Ghost? And I say, yes. Well, then you speak in tongues, right? Well, you're partially right. I speak in the tongue that God gave me. No, Cecil, you don't understand. One night in a revival meeting, I went to the altar and I sought God's Holy Spirit and I began talking in a new tongue. I said, did you have an interpreter? Well, they said, no, well, you're not in the Spirit. Because the Bible said there is to be an interpreter, so you are unscriptural. Peter was a rascal at times, denying the Lord, and other stupid things. However, on the day of Pentecost, God called Peter to preach. Why? Because God knew what was in Peter's heart. 5,000 were saved at one meeting and 3,000 at the other meeting. I don't know how many dialects were present the day that he preached that great sermon, but everyone heard the message in his own tongue. Now that was New Testament tongues. I was preaching in a prison service a few months ago, and an inmate came up and laid hands on me and while I was preaching, and he started speaking in tongues. When he finished, I said, "Is there an interpreter here?" I asked that question three times. No one answered. And I turned to him and said, "According to God's holy word, you are out of order. Please return to your seat." He could have been cursing God for what I know. I don't know. If the interpreter was there, we'd have told us. We who know the scriptures need to call their hands when they don't follow and obey the words of God. Oh, I tell you, I've been in some meetings when... One time, I was speaking in the Pentagon building in Washington. And this preacher invited me to preach to one of the biggest Pentecostal churches there in Washington. And I said, "I don't normally preach in their churches because," I said, "we have a lot of disagreements on the scripture." "Oh," he said, "these people are tame. They're really nice." Man, when I got up there to sit down before I preached, they started. Man, they were speaking in tongues all over the church, which is unscriptural too. Over one or two or three. And no interpreters. And they were rolling on the floor and they were screaming and shouting. And I thought, "Oh God, please bring, restore order to this meeting." People, lost people, come in there and see that, they'd say, "Well, these guys are nutting a fruitcake." You know they would. Well, anyway, I finally finished the service and was glad to get out of there. See, tongues are the most divisive gift in all of the gifts. If you don't believe me, just check around. While attending Bible college, I went with about a dozen young preachers from the college to go meet supposed to be a great spiritual teacher speaking on 1 Corinthians 13 chapter. This man was completely off base. Then he started speaking in tongues. He went on and on. And when he finished, one by one, the student preachers said, "Amen, amen, amen." When it come my turn to say amen, I remained completely silent. Outside, the students jumped me and said, "Cecil, why didn't you say amen?" I said, "Because he was unscriptural, no interpreter." They said, "That doesn't matter." I said, "You men are going to be preachers, and you won't follow what God's word tells us to do? Would God lead that man to go against his word? Absolutely not." Now, these self-righteous tongue talkers looked down their nose at us saying, "You do not have the baptism of God's Holy Spirit." But we do. Anybody who has been born again by the Holy Spirit of God has the Holy Spirit of God in his heart immediately. Not 3 days later, not going to the altar and praying and trying to get another second working of grace, like even the Nazarenes do that. Well, anyway, the day you repented of your sins and received Christ as your Savior, you receive God's Holy Spirit. Friends, you can't dispute, or I shouldn't dispute, you cannot imitate the day of Pentecost. Pentecost, so you can. There was a rushing of a mighty wind if you're reading Acts and what happened. The only time a person can covet and be legal, according to Scripture, is when he covets God's best gift for us. Well, why are spiritual gifts given? Well, so we can best serve our Lord. That's why they give. They're not there to make you and I look spiritual. Oh, I tell you, the superiority of life is love. It is not the gifts. There's always a danger of feeling and acting superior because of one's prophetic gifts and elegance. It is possible to long for souls and to preach the glories of heaven and the tragedy of hell with an attitude and a tone that one is better than the other. the danger of looking down upon others, of feeling that one is more knowledgeable or better equipped than others. A coolness or detachment or aloofness often characterizes such a person. You say, Cecil, I think I know why you feel that way, because you didn't go to seminary. I'm glad I didn't go to seminary. Now, seminary has some good points. Oh, don't you think they don't? And they have some marvelous teachers. However, they have just as good ones in Bible college, I think. But the thing is, we're listening to some professor say, oh, my professor said this, and this is what I believe, and so he's just telling me what the other man taught him. We need God's Holy Spirit to teach us what to believe. Now, I have a question for you. Which person will get the most rewards? A person who spends their whole life seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is what the Pentecostals say, or the man or woman who were busy leading souls to Christ? That's self-explanatory. Now, there's a gift of faith. That is a very special gift of faith that is given by the Holy Spirit to remove mountains and do great and miraculous things for God. Imagine a person possessing all faith, yet if he does not possess love, he would be nothing. The danger is spiritual superiority, an overblown sense of importance. A person with the gift of faith can easily hurt others by speaking openly of their great faith. They can easily make others feel inferior and of less importance to God. Now, there was a gift of different tongues, and I read in Corinthians 12, chapter 8, 10. For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another distinguishing of spirits, to others various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Now the point to note that it is all meaningless do not have the same Spirit. We do not all have the same gift. Repeat. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret tongues? The answer is obviously no. God has not gifted all believers with the same gift. But it's the same Spirit. Oh, my stars, I wish people could get that in their minds. And again, the reason for gifts are not to magnify man, but the Almighty. Have you ever watched these so-called healers? They'll pop them in the head with their hand and knock them down. And there's some jackanape behind and catching them. They call them catchers. And they call it being slain in the Spirit. When you find that, call me, will you? When you find that in the Bible, slain in the Spirit, call me, will you? Well, they flop on the floor and they start quivering like a dead chicken. Only God knows if they are healed. Then they have them get up and run up and down on the stage and throw their crutches away and jump out of their thing. Well, you know, years and years ago when I lived in Portland, I knew he called himself a healer. And he'd hold meetings, and his daughter was in on it. And she'd get in a wheelchair, and they'd wheel her out there, and she'd get healed. She'd jump up and down, run up and down. Well, finally, she got saved, because she said, I can't do that no more, and it ruined her dad's ministry. Well, there are men like Benny Hinn is a multimillionaire. He's under investigation for fraud, and he said he had spent $5 million to defend himself. Where did he get the $5 million? From his healing lines. Now he's begging for more money so he can take the gospel around the world. I prayed, Lord, don't give it to him. He's got a $7 million home in California. Does that sound like a man that loves Jesus, a man that walks with the Lord? I worked with a roofer long before I was saved. And his wife used to play the piano for Oral Roberts in his tent meetings. But you know, beloved, I doubt if she ever got saved because of the hypocrisy she saw in his ministry. Which brings me to a very important question. Can or does God heal? And the answer is yes. He healed my lung tumor in California when the doctors gave me up to die. Does God always heal? And the answer is no. He heals if it's according to the will of God. But there's nothing that God cannot heal. If you've given up for terminal cancer or whatever, he can heal you if it's his will. Don't give up. President Kennedy was shot in the head in Dallas years ago. He had the best neurosurgeons the world knows working on him. But he died. Why? Because it is appointed once to die and then the judgment. Friends, when it's our time to go, nothing can keep us from death. God has a perfect plan. And he has a perfect plan for you tonight. Another false fallacy of the Pentecostals is they believe from falling from grace. They say, we have no guarantee that once we are saved, that we will go to heaven. Well, once your name is in the Lord's Lamb's Book of Life, no man shall pluck thee out of my hand, the God said. The Pentecostal people worship their preachers, and whatever he says, that's right, no matter what the Bible says. Now, all Pentecostals don't fall in this together. I'm just lumped them together. But I know some wonderful, precious Pentecostal preachers and Pentecostal people. But I'm talking about the ones that are phony. Well, if you follow the teachings of Pentecostalism, you will find that money drives them. Beggars, and many are blatant liars. Yes, beloved, there is a special place in hell for false prophets. Try the spirits and see if there is of God. Let me take a little drink of lemonade. I recall one time speaking in a big tent revival in Riverside, California. I'd never been to a healing meeting. And I went and shared my testimony with this evangelist. And he said, I like that. Why don't you come back to our service tonight? And there was thousands in this big old tent. I walked in there. They had me come on the platform. And then the Pentecostal evangelist said, I had a young man come from the college over here, shared a wonderful testimony how God delivered him from alcoholism and changed his life and called him to preach. Then he said this, how many people believe that God will save a Baptist? Well, I hit that pulpit. I was red hot. I'm ready to go. And I said, some of you people need to have an experience like I had. I said, I'm no better than anybody in this place, but I was a lost, hell-bound sinner. And I fell upon my knees one morning, cried out to God and told him I was sorry for my sins. And I said, he not only saved me, but he delivered me from alcoholism. And 1 year later, God called me to preach. And I stand before you now, a man that knows Jesus. Well, then after I got done, the preacher got up and preached on healing. That's all he preached on. And then at the invitation, this little lady, little short lady, little stubby legs, little bit overweight, she come waddling down to the altar, and they had a bench there for a deal in front of him. And so two ladies come up behind her and pushed her head, both of her hands, tight to her head. Well, needless to say, she passed out. Now, they thought that was the Holy Spirit, but they stopped her blood. And you could do that yourself or anybody else. And then her little legs popped up and her dress come up, and they run up and threw something over her legs. And I said, Lord, don't let me ever get involved in this kind of stuff. My job is to go out and win souls, not to try to build myself into a spiritual giant, because I'm not. and never send money to those seed planters, for it is a man-made scam. Even if they do use scriptures and things like that they teach. Christian, beware of the false prophets of this modern day. Jesus warned us. Paul warned us. Now Cecil's warning you. Beware. If you got something in the mail that says you won some money, but to claim it you need to send $25, throw it away. It's a scam. I'll close with several dangers in giving, believe it or not. There are dangers of giving out of duty, giving with contempt because one is forced to. There are dangers of giving with an air of superiority because one has and the needy do not have. Giving with a rebuke because one feels the needy are just irresponsible and ought to make their own way in life. Give as God prospers. God loves a cheerful giver. He who gives to the poor lendeth unto the Lord. Selfish Christians never really find the joy of giving, going, or telling. Truly, I learned the hard way you can't outgive God. Now, I know this is going to shock you, but it's a true story. At first, I believed I should seek the Holy Spirit to be baptized the way they talked about it. So I prayed about it and prayed about it. And I said, Lord, I don't know if this is right or wrong. But God won't lead his children astray. I'll guarantee you he won't. And as I was praying about that, this came to me. Cecil, use what talent you have to reach the lost. Take care of the poor and the needy. And God will bless you. And it's just more important than tongues. See, tongues is divisive. And you don't know if it's right or wrong. I know it's in the Bible, and I believe it. And I believe some people have the gift of tongues. But I've never heard it done spiritually. Scripturally, I should say. Well, you draw your own conclusions. You ask the Lord to show you what you need to do. Now, let me ask you this question. You're here tonight, and you say, you know, Cecil, I am so confused. Well, give me a call. Call me free. I'll talk to you. Do I know all the answers? Of course I don't. Do I know Jesus? Oh, yes, I do know him, and I know him well. Now, if you don't know Jesus, you don't know where you're going, I want you to do me a favor. If the Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart, I want you to bow your head with me right now. And I want you to pray the most powerful prayer known unto man. And here's how it goes. Kind Heavenly Father, oh, in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, oh, I confess that I am a lost sinner. And tonight, Father, I'm repenting. I'm opening my heart. And I'm receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior. In his precious name I pray, amen. If you meant that prayer, would you get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. Man, I won't use your name on the ad or your name on the radio. I won't embarrass you. I sure won't sit down and write to ask you for any money. I don't do that. I don't raise funds that way. I don't even sell my books or my movies. Does that make me better than anybody else? Absolutely not. But anyway, if you'd like to talk to me and you can't afford to call, you call 303-471-8534, and I will take the call and pay for it. Friends, I want to see you in heaven. I've got a revival in heaven coming up someday. My two sisters, my two brothers, my mom and my dad, and we'll all get to go up and hug Jesus and thank him for what he did for us. For without Jesus, I wouldn't have stood a chance. I'd be in hell tonight. If I can help you, give me a call, 303-471-8534. Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. I hope and pray I said something that would encourage you. No, there's false people. And, you know, tongues could be counterfeited a lot. You know it and I know it. Well, most important thing is give your life to Christ. That's the most important thing. Now, I want you to pray for my wife and I. We both got a bunch of doctor's appointments for our eyes and for other things. And pray that God lays a hand upon us and help us to stay well so I can keep on keeping on for Jesus. I'm so thankful for this opportunity to share with you people. And I pray that you believe that I'm telling you the truth, because I am. So in this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.